Greetings, EastEnders fans, and welcome to another episode of Albert Square After Dark, your weekly EastEnders podcast. This week, discussing the episodes broadcast between the 25th and the 28th of June, 2024. Hello, you melting like we are. I don't wish to start every podcast complaining about the weather, but it's bloody hot, isn't it? It's bloody hot in the UK. Now, this is where anyone who doesn't live in the UK goes, oh, yeah, you want hot? Come to our country, mate. Come to America, where we're under a heat dome. I know, all right? I know. But all your homes are air-conditioned, I'd argue. I'll keep you trapped in, all right? This is a rant I have every single summer and will have for the rest of my life, I suspect. Joining me, as usual, is Ree. Hello, Ree. How are you?
I'm good, Rob, thanks. You're good. Looking really nice with your new haircut, by the way.
Good.
It really suits you.
Thank you.
Really
thank
nice.
You. Thank you, Ree. Yeah, thank you. Right, so just before we began this conversation, I said to Ree, so you have no
haircut.
What
are you on about?
Don't.
Don't know what he's
said
about.
No, she doesn't know. I said, you haven't noticed my haircut at all. Actually, no, that's not quite right.
I did.
I posted my new haircut on Instagram, and the comment I got from Ree was, God, about time. And she hasn't said anything since. So does that count, does it, as you noticing that I've had
I'm just giving you a compliment, Rob. God,
only
he tries to make out like
I
never noticed these things
you.
About him. You know, it's just because your hair looks so good all the time, Rob, that I don't feel the need to comment.
Now I know you're talking bullshit. Because my hair looks like Donald Trump when it gets to a certain length, so...
We've had a few Donald Trump impressions, actually, haven't we, over his years?
This is the very best podcast, an absolutely fantastic podcast. Everybody says it. Everybody says this is the best podcast. Ugh. Anyway, so we are on to the 25th to the 28th of June. We are midsummer, and oh my goodness me, do we have some new characters to discuss this week, Ree? Some new Mitchells have strutted their way onto the square. And I... quite like them, I have to say. I think this is going to be interesting. I wasn't sure at first, which we should just discuss later, but I think by the end of the week I was kind of like, everything's fine, these boys will be fine. I'm sold. It's good.
Definitely intrigued. 100%.
Like, what is this? It feels like this is only just the start of something as well. Like, you don't bring three whole new characters to kind of just sit there and
I just keep wondering, where are they going to live? That's all I can't figure out. Where
That's always the question with new characters, isn't it? Where are you going to live? Where are you going to live?
They definitely can't live in Billy's house. That's full.
No. But then, since when has that ever bothered anybody in EastEnders? Shove them in the Slaters. Why not? Shove them all in the Slaters.
Yeah,
the Vic.
You know what?
Shove
They've got loads of room.
Bring back Monique and Xavier and then
Slaters.
Shove the new Mitchells in the Vic as well. Do it. Why not?
Yeah, you've got a point.
There we are then. Right, we've got a few other things to discuss before we get to the new Mitchells. We shall start off with talking about Nugget. Oh, my heart broke. My heart broke for him this week. So let's crack on with this week's Albert Square After Dark. Great, as I say, let's talk about Nugget and the boxing tournament and Ravi. Now, I have to say, I actually thought that these were my favourite scenes of the week this week. I really, really did. So in the run-up to the boxing tournament, pretty obvious that Nugget is sort of losing all confidence. Denzel is getting ever so slightly more arrogant. And I just think that...
I hate Denzel at the minute.
He's just an arsehole at the minute, isn't he? Like, obviously, it's the roids doing this. Is that the cool way to describe steroids these days?
Yeah,
roids. It's the roids.
Yeah.
The roids doing it to him. And I think it's not, I don't think he's particularly trying to make Nugget feel bad. It's not like he's picking on him per se, but it's just like he is so far ahead in his own self-confidence, which is a million miles away from where Nugget actually is at the moment, that it's just making Nugget feel worse, I think. And, you know, they're kind of, he's doing this thing where, you know, he'll be punching away at the punch bag and Nugget's sort of standing there like, just sort of like.
I mean, but to be fair, regardless of the roids, right, Denzel's been, you know, working out and doing all this for a lot longer than Nugget.
Yeah.
So he's being well harsh, being like, oh, catch up. It's like, you've been doing this for months.
Honestly, this is what I'm like with stuff like this. I go to the gym once and I'm convinced I've lost 10 stone. You know, it's just obviously that should be how
I
it works. It's only fair, right? If I've actually taken the time and effort to go to the gym and I've gone swimming or I've been on a treadmill for 15 minutes, what do you mean I haven't lost 10 stone? That's bang out of order. We mean I've got to make more effort. What are you talking about? I've done it once already. I've done it once. What's the matter
minimum.
With you? Yeah. What? I've done it once. What more do you want from me? I wouldn't go to the supermarket and buy a big food shop every single day. You do it as and when you need to, surely. That's how it should be. Honestly, it's not fair.
Well,
it's not fair at all. So anyway, so Nugget's self-confidence sort of kind of continues to diminish throughout the week until
self-esteem.
They're actually, yes, and then they are sort of, they're kind of coming up to the boxing tournament, and basically Nugget kind of has a meltdown and sort of basically storms out. Ravi discovers him in McClunky's, and they have this really nice conversation, don't they? And it was a really good moment for Ravi. Really good moment for Ravi to actually be a decent dad and sort of be there for Nugget.
Because when we thought this was all starting, we said, oh, he's got like quite a lot of toxic masculinity in his life.
Yeah.
But actually, Ravi's proved otherwise with how he's been.
Well, yes and no. Yes and no. I mean, there is several elements of Ravi where you sort of can understand how Nugget would feel a little bit sort of like, how do I tell my dad that I'm having something close to an emotional issue, because Ravi doesn't strike you as the sort that would, you'd be able to sort of sit down and have kind of like a feelings conversation with a lot of the time, does he?
No, true. I don't know that. I mean, like, it were nice for Ravi to say, right, well, you've clearly shown an interest in wanting to get fit.
Yeah.
Clearly, I'm someone who, like, you know,
yeah, he's got arms like oak trees. You know what I mean? Like,
so let me help you out, kind of thing. But then I'm like, is that the right way to then I don't know.
Well, let's think about this.
Is it
the right way to go about it? I think that it is.
Better than putting him in a boxing den, if I'm honest with you.
Exactly.
Fight it out, boys, which
he's done before.
Yeah,
and it's very different to sort of the way that Phil would do it, and sort of insert, like, Phil would go down the route of actually inserting more of his toxic masculinity into him at this moment, wouldn't he? And say, well, you're a man, but I sort you out. But what Ravi's actually doing is, right, okay, so this is what you want to do. I know about this sort of thing. So me and you, let's go have some father-son time together. I'll step up and I'll take you through this from day one. We'll do Idiot's Guide to Weightlifting or something, and then you'll be absolutely fine. All sort of culminating in what I thought was a genuinely gorgeous scene in the gym, when Ravi's just standing behind him and just supporting him, and he's got these tiny weights. So they were quite small weights, weren't they?
Yeah.
Nugget was just sort of doing that, and wasn't overexerting himself and making himself feel like crap because of it. It was just at the level where he needed to be. And Ravi was like, and I'm with you every step of the way. Let's do this. Beautiful. Absolutely loved those scenes. Absolutely fantastic. And I want to say a massive shout out to Jaheim Russell Chowdhury, who plays Nugget, who I have been a fan of since he came in, actually. I won't say here a bad word about Nugget. I never have done, but I think that he is, specifically over the past year, really nailed that role. I think there was no doubt what was internally going on in Nugget this week. And
no,
I thought
agreed.
He absolutely knocked it out of the park. I really,
really,
really did. I think he's such a strong little actor, and he's growing every single week. And this story I find so relatable. I've been where Nugget is, right? Okay, genuinely. I have been at the stage where Nugget is, where you are surrounded by much better looking people in your mind. And you just sort of think, I am the lowest of the low, right? Okay, I am so far down the food chain compared to these people that I'm surrounding myself with. It's the worst feeling in the world. And it's really, really difficult to pick yourself up from that.
Well, like we've said before, it's interesting that they've done it from a teenage boy perspective, because we see it a lot from a teenage girl perspective, this kind of storyline, don't we?
Yeah,
I think with today's culture, I feel so old when I talk about things, but with social media and stuff, it's true, isn't it? And Denzel is walking blooming Instagram, isn't he? Let's be honest at minute.
Well, it's interesting that we kind of thought that where Nugget is now is where we thought the storyline with Denzel was going.
Yeah, yeah.
And in many ways, it seems that the roids have kind of sorted whatever self-confidence and self-esteem issues that Denzel had completely out the window. A little bit too much. I think they're going to start going in very different directions now. It depends where I think Nugget's now going to be the leading component in this story for a little bit.
Well,
I think wherever he goes is where Denzel's story will sort of divert to.
It's interesting though, because Nugget seems like he's not very well from him, doesn't it? Like
he's
thrown up. He looked very grey. So is he? We were thinking that Denzel's going to get ill from him. I think.
Well, Nugget's been taking
him
nowhere
like
near as long as Denzel has, though, has he?
But that's what I mean. So it's interesting that he's having a potentially, bad reaction to him already compared to Denzel. Because I don't think we saw Denzel throw up or anything.
No, Denzel's absolutely fine.
He doesn't seem to have had any side effects.
Denzel's taken a couple and turned into Popeye the Sailor Man. Like, he's absolutely fine, isn't he? So, I mean, so the way into this boxing tournament thing approaches, and Zach's taking charge of it. We said this when this storyline was first sort of thrown around like, yes. Oh, well, Zach's got experience with Star Wars, so it might be nice to sort of bring him into it in some way. And they have perfectly done that, I think.
And it's nice that Zach's doing something now. Whitney's gone. I've liked seeing Zach and it not independently, being without being horrible. Crying about Whitney.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, 100%. I mean,
it's
he's
nice
doing
to
this.
See him doing his own thing. Obviously, he's going to cry about Whitney. But...
Of course, he is, and he is entitled to do that. I guess.
Yeah,
but
I know.
He...
I'm not...
Nice. But he is sort of, I mean, and the reason he's doing this is because of the Whitney thing.
Yeah.
Someone to turn around to him and say, right, can you pull your head out your ass, please? Go and do that over there. Go on, off you go. Go and sort yourself out. So that's why he's doing this. But I think it was really nice to sort of bring, it was the only character that they could have for this moment. Like, considering how many characters are sort of involved in the boxing den, you could have had Phil doing this, you could have had Ravi doing this, but Zach really works because of that steroid connection. And I thought that was quite clever the way that they sort of made that feel natural.
And he's got an interest in helping young kids, you know.
George
could have
done
doing
this.
The fostering and stuff. Yeah,
yeah,
that's true.
George could
have
done this. Even Junior could probably have fitted into this slot quite nicely. But because of that steroid connection, it really worked to have Zach in this role. Mm-hmm. And it seems that Zach is very much onto them because he overhears Denzel and Nugget talking and for using the phrase juiced up. Are we juicing up before this? Is that the phrase
that
they use?
Oh, that were it. I couldn't remember what it was.
Is that the phrase that they use?
Yeah.
And I don't think they were talking
juiced
any,
up.
And he's like, I don't think you're talking about apple juice over there, young boys, are you? No. Because I'm assuming that's the parlance, you know, with steroids in that community. We're juicing up, boys. We're juicing up. So he goes straight to Ravi and is sort of like, so something to tell you. Got a feeling that your boy's taking steroids. Sorry about that. And Ravi, this is where I think we'll go back into slightly older Ravi territory where he's not entirely a modern man. Kind of goes into denial and goes, that'd be stupid. Get out. Of course,
just because you've done it, Zach, don't mean my boy's a good boy.
And then what the question now, the thing is with Ravi as well. Now, if it wasn't for the fact that Ravi was clearly obsessed with fitness himself, I think that his brain would automatically go to needles. But because Ravi is involved in the fitness thing, I think he will know that there are other ways of taking steroids apart from just injecting yourself.
That's true. I did wonder that because when he said that at first, I thought, would Ravi have
immediately
said,
thinking
I've not
needles.
Seen any marks
Yeah.
Like
but
that.
I think because he is so heavily, he's involved in fitness himself so much, I think he'll be a little bit more wise to that sort of thing.
I wonder
thing.
If that's where Denzel's going to head. Then.
Well, possibly, yeah. I do wonder because it's the problem with this sort of thing is that initial stage becomes not enough, doesn't it? You have to sort of then bring it up a little bit
up
more.
Your game,
yeah, you're like
speak.
You're looking in the mirror and thinking, I'm not seeing results quick enough here. Let's up it a little bit, and then you're into very dangerous territory as you sort of fall from there. But Nuggets, I have a feeling his steroid journey may not be lasting much longer because he's not reacting well to them at all.
No, it doesn't.
It's not doing
like
his
it,
self-confidence any good either. And I do wonder because Zach kind of pointed out the mood swing thing as to a kind of a symptom of taking them. And half of me kind of think that with Denzel, we've seen that in clear illustration that Denzel is an arsehole at the moment. I was a bit of an arsehole before he even started taking them, let's be fair. I've still not forgiven him for what he said about Yolandi's cooking. But with Nugget, I kind of feel like a lot of his mood swings are more to do with how he's feeling about himself rather than the effect of the steroids.
I thought that as well, because a lot of Nuggets you could just put down to normal teenage behavior, really, couldn't you?
Yeah, he's not
like,
being outrageously. He's not being an utter arsehole like Denzel is occasionally at the
then
minute.
Then again, I think what Zach witnessed, Denzel and Nugget were getting a bit aggy with each other. Whereas Ravi's probably not seen that because he's not seen him. How he talks with Denzel at minute.
Yeah, I think Zach certainly planted seeds in Ravi's head. It wasn't a case of like he was completely and utterly dismissive of it. He told Zach to go away, and then you sort of
you could see it, the realization on him of him thinking, why would Zach just say that without any, you know?
Yeah, this is Zach. Merit. Why would he say? Why would he say? I trust Zach enough. I trust Zach enough to know what he's talking about, but I just don't want to admit that this is something that I now
Zach
have to deal
Ravi's,
with. My restaurant is
friendship.
Very busy. I haven't got time for my son to be on steroids, quite frankly. Yes,
I think like we said as well, he just doesn't think. I just don't think he initially thinks that that's something Nugget would ever try and do, would he?
No, but then I think it's the Denzel thing that sort of led him a little bit astray, and it's all spawned from teenage boys being teenage boys and thinking with their pants initially, hasn't it? Like it's the fact that Denzel's getting more attention off girls than he is, so it's like right, well if that's what you're doing to make that happen, that's
Nugget,
what I now
definitely,
need to do.
Because with Denzel, it was when Yolandi got attacked, weren't it? And that's when he...
Yeah, which is weird, really, because Denzel sent into more of an arsehole, and yet his genesis with this was from slightly more honourable reasons than I want to get laid.
Yeah, true. Very true.
Bless him.
I think as well, though, I don't think Denzel's helped Nugget's self-esteem, has he? Because obviously when Ebony were getting involved, Denzel's like, oh,
I don't want to see that bitch again. Ebony's awful. Awful girl.
I can believe, honestly, it makes me so scared for my daughter to become a teenager with this, like, being the world that teenagers live in, isn't it?
Yeah. Second time we've made ourselves feel old today, isn't it? When we start saying things like, the world we're bringing our kids up in these days,
well, it's
awful.
It's totally true.
I am so glad that none of this existed when we were at school. None of it existed. Social media.
MySpace. Top eight beef. That were as bad. That was about as dramatic as it got, isn't it?
Yeah. Top eight. And people say, why is she top three? Why I was three before. Why am I five now?
Why have you moved from top three to number five? What? Yeah. That used to happen a lot. That was quite telling, let me tell
you. Absolute drama back in the day, that was, wasn't
proper
it?
Proper drama.
So, good stuff with this week. I'm really excited to sort of see where this goes. I'm really pleased that Nugget's in the spotlight at the moment because he's been yearning out for a little story of his own for ages. So I'm really pleased to see that he's getting it. I love Jaheim Chowdhury. I think he's great in the role. So, yeah, more of this hopefully coming up next week. Bring it on. Right, ladies and gents, we'll move on to another fabulous actor now, Miss Angela Winter, who continues to just absolutely awe-inspire the lot of us with her performances, and there's been quite the developments this week with the Yolande story. So, on to Yolande this week. Now, if you were here previously, you will know that we finished last week with Pastor Clayton being arrested because Yolande eventually went to the police and reported the assault. And Clayton was led away by the police. But as I think we probably guessed where it was going to go, he's basically immediately released. You know, presumably asked a few uncomfortable questions. They can't prove anything, so they just immediately sort of let him go with no charge. That was kind of always going to be how it went, I think. I don't think anybody really thought that was going to be done and dusted at the end of the story, did they?
Well, unfortunately not, because we know that young Andy's not really got any evidence, has she, unfortunately? No.
And we were also wondering last week what has become of Levi. And we discover the answer to that this week. And it turns out that Levi is not the kind of runaway because the situation is too difficult to deal with person that we might have suspected him of being. Because actually what Levi's been doing is going away and trying to do his own inquiries. And he has managed to find Delia. And if you remember Delia from the flashbacks that we watched a few weeks back on the actual assault episode, Delia was the one that we saw going to the police after she was actually raped by Clayton. Now, we did sort of wonder whether this was going to, whether any of those other victims were going to make an appearance at some point. And I'm glad that they have. And I think it was right for it. I mean, we saw that Delia went to the police and nothing got done about it. And having just seen that with Yolande, I think it felt kind of right for that to be the victim.
Yeah,
that
for it to be Delia to be the first one that we meet. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And so Levi's basically tracked this Delia down and says, so our next option is if you kind of go on force with this and you talk to Delia and see if she's prepared to kind of bring all this up again. So Delia arrives and initially is sort of reluctant for obvious reasons.
Who can blame her?
Who can blame her? You know, she's
been
basically
through it all already and nothing happened.
She has been dealing with this for years now, hasn't she?
Did you say 2016 it happened?
Yeah,
to Delia,
something like that. I think it was. She was the last one that we saw in the flashback. So she was sort of the one before Yolande.
That we know of.
And yeah, just really interesting the way that they've sort of brought Delia in. You can kind of completely understand her thinking. Like, I've lived with this for years. I've been living with this for about 8 years now. And I went to the police, it wasn't believed, and now I've just sort of had to live with it, and I am a survivor of that. That's what my life has become. Why do I need to bring it all up again? And Yolande sort of points out to her, at this stage, it's not really about us anymore, it's about protecting future victims.
And, you know, whilst I agree with that, and that it's great that they're going to try and prevent this happening to any other women who may be similar to them, I think that's quite a lot of pressure to put on both of them, not just her putting that kind of pressure on Delia, which I don't think was her intention, by the way, but just saying, I think Denise said it to her earlier in the week, because Yolande had said it about herself, and like Denise said, it's not up to you to stop him doing these actions, but I get it, but I'm just saying, I thought, oh, that's a bit of pressure to put onto her.
I thought that they covered that when Yolande was basically saying, we don't have to do this. So she was very clear throughout the entire process. Like, at no point am I going to force you to do anything you don't want to do.
Yeah, true.
But
it was more to give a motivation to do it, I think, weren't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. rather than to pressure her, but I'm just saying that.
Yeah. I want to do a shout out to the line that I thought was really cleverly written, where they did a sort of play on the words pray and pray.
Yes, that was a good one.
That was a really good line that I thought
he doesn't pray to God, he prays on women and their faith.
Yeah, I thought it was brilliant. Very, very, very good line. One of those lines you sort of watch and you think, and you actually go, oh, that's good. Nice one. Well done. Mm. Oh, yeah, it's very good. And so eventually Delia is sort of convinced to go to the police, and we sort of leave this storyline at the end of the week with Delia sort of being taken away by the police and interviewed. So what do we think? Is this now the start of Clayton's downfall, or is more going to have to be done?
This is what I do. Well, just before we started doing this, I was frantically trying to Google
whether this actually helps. Yeah,
whether multiple people coming forward and accusing the same person will get them anywhere, and it looks inconclusive to me. Yeah. I think it again just goes on evidence. So will multiple people's claims count as sufficient evidence? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I've said all the way through this that I think this is what this story is about, rather than the direct effects on Yolande as a character. Obviously, we're dealing with Yolande's sort of journey throughout this, but actually, I think this story is more about is the impact and the difficulty in conviction. It seems to be what the main sort of force pushing this story forward is about. So I wouldn't be surprised if this doesn't turn out to be enough either, in all honesty.
Well, this is why I'm wondering. I think we said before, will it go in newspapers or maybe more so online? And then it might mean that other women come forward, hopefully, and then maybe then it's going to go somewhere.
Yeah, I mean,
again,
I think this is...
depends on whether they have sufficient evidence as well.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen a few times in like sort of the celebrity world that if one person comes forward, that can then sort of trickle through to multiple accusations coming forward. I mean, from the police's perspective, I don't know what they do here. Like, there's nothing stopping a false accusation from happening, and then for that false accusation to not work, and then for that false accuser to say to her mate, right, come do this false accusation with me, we'll both do it now. So is that something that they've got to sort of balance? Now, I would have thought that when two women like Yolande and Delia come to you, that's very unlikely going to be that sort of operation, I would have thought, but it's something that they have to
work with, I guess. They can't decide whether this type of person's more likely to make a false accusation than another.
To be fair,
I don't think... It's been made quite apparent that they don't believe the accusation is false.
Yeah, which in itself is weird, isn't it?
They just don't have evidence. Yeah. It's not that they're not being believed. It's just that they don't have the evidence to back up what it is that they're claiming, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you've run then to the conversation of like, is that... So, I mean, surely that is how it has to be. Like, you can't send people to prison for years and years and years on pure vibes, can you? Or whether you... or a certain feeling of whether it's
true
or
not. But this
is
where, for me, it's where a jury decides, surely. Yeah. Because if you
put... the jury decides on the evidence presented to them. It's not like they can get a bad vibe off someone and then decide guilty, is it?
I don't know, because I'm more inclined to go, we'll just always believe the woman. I'm going to, obviously, I'm not saying that there aren't people who make false accusations, but I think it's a lot less likely someone to make a false accusation than a real accusation. And I just think if you put people like Yolande and Delia in a court scenario in front of a jury, and Pastor Clayton, sure, is a charming guy. I don't doubt that he won't be able to try and talk his way out of it.
And of God, yeah.
Exactly. But then I think if you put someone like Yolande and Delia and the other women that it happened to, a jury might be inclined to go, these don't seem like the type of women who are just going to say something like this. And he seems like a very overly charming...
Yeah. But then that is in itself... You know, again, it's not evidence, is it? It's not sort of, it's not cut and dry proof, which is what juries
sort of need. It's someone's word, not
need.
Evidence, though.
Yeah, exactly. And that isn't enough is the problem, isn't it?
We're talking about the entire justice system here, aren't we?
Exactly, yeah. The problem is it's innocent until proven guilty, not innocent until I reckon he's probably guilty, isn't it?
Not guilty until proven innocent.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's the other way around, yeah.
And you know, the whole thing of always believe the woman. I agree with you in many respects from that. But then if that becomes the rule, then that means that then the false accusations can then just flow from there, doesn't it? So it's a really tricky territory. It's a storyline that's meant to sort of start these sort of conversations off, and it's doing that very, very well. But you sort of wonder, where does this end in that respect? Like, are we actually going to get to the end of a storyline with no conviction? Like, storyline wise, we don't get that schadenfreude of watching Clayton go down, but then realistically, is that where the story has to go in order for it to feel realistic?
Yeah, in some way. I don't know. It just all depends on whether multiple women's, you know, account of things means anything, I guess, in justice system for whether he's going to go down or not. Because we've said before, like you say, if he goes down, that gives people more hope to come forward and hopefully speak their truth, etc. But it, realistically, he wouldn't, would he?
No.
From what we've seen at the starts.
Yeah, it's a funny old situation like that, because it's like, how do you change that? How do you stop the rot that is this situation? And in many ways, you've got to sort of go right back and sort of think about it. You can't, can you? It's like,
how do you get the evidence unless you go there the night that it's happened?
Yeah.
And even then,
unless
even
you get
then
a time
with the
machine.
evidence,
Yeah.
even with the evidence, you then have to argue the consent, don't you?
Yeah.
That's a whole other element, even if you have got evidence.
I suspect the way that this will go, maybe, is that they will maybe this won't be enough. And then I think maybe further down the line, he will get a little bit too overconfident and do something that produces irrefutable proof of the situation. And then that's how the storyline ends. But then up to that point, simply reporting him has not been enough. And maybe that's the storyline more than anything else.
See, I've been wondering this, but then I don't know. Because he seemed so clever about it. Like, even when he's talking to Yolande one-on-one, he never admits to doing it. It's always like,
no.
Oh, we've been saying, me and Stella have been talking about how confused you are, love, and how delusional you are. And it's never like, haha, I've got away with it, Yolande.
It's not like Yolande's had the opportunity of doing that classic soap thing of going into a room with him with a recorder or something.
Yeah.
Like, he's not allowing even that to happen. Now, again, will he get
That's why
overly...
I don't know if he'd be smart enough.
Well,
That's
this is what
why
I mean.
I don't
Will
know
he
if he
get,
would slip
will he
up.
get overly cocky to the point where she's able to do that? I don't know. You know, or maybe gets a bit gobby with Patrick, who he knows is no match for him. So is that maybe where that's going to go? I don't know. I feel like that's ultimately where it's going to end the story, that it'll be a trip up on his part rather than the judicial system actually being any help.
Yeah, I agree, actually. Yeah, that seems like the most likely outcome.
Yeah, but we'll see where it goes. But I was glad that we got Delia back anyway, because I did want some form of continuation of the old victim story. So I'm glad at least that we've got that. But I feel like we've still got a long, long way to go with this storyline yet.
Yeah, definitely.
On to the big one now, and this is the arrival of the new Mitchells. We have Teddy, we have Harry, and we have Barney Mitchell, who have strutted their way onto the square. First impressions of the new boys, Ree. What do we think?
First impressions, or impressions
yeah,
after the
I mean,
week?
I think that, well, yeah, I think after the week, because I think
Yeah,
that
yeah.
I had different impressions after
the
the last
second
episode of the week,
episode that they were
yeah,
in.
than I did the first, I would say. I would argue first episode syndrome is definitely a thing.
I know what you said. Right, well, let's talk about the impressions first, and we'll talk about the episode. So, Teddy, I can't make my mind up about whether he's a right un or a wrong un, because he's almost too charming, but I don't know if that's what they're trying to convey, because we're still in his first week.
I get the. Do you know what? Who I get vibes of from Teddy, honestly, at this stage, is Mick.
I've seen a few people say that online.
He actually reminds me quite a lot of Mick. I can imagine him, because he seems.
And I get more of a slimy, not slimy, but like almost too good to be true vibe is what I get. Actually,
you've had that of every new single male character we've had since we've been doing this podcast.
Well, you should always be wary,
yes,
man or bear,
men.
Rob. Have
Yeah,
you not heard about that
absolutely.
debate? No, it just seems a bit too good to be true. Then I say that, and then I think, then I see how he is with his kids, and I'm like, I can kind of see that.
Yeah,
that's just your personality.
At the moment, he seems all right. I don't think
he's
going to be a
charming, though. Very charming.
Very charming. I don't think he's going to be a carbon copy of Mick in any way, but what I get from him is that sort of softy behind a slightly rougher exterior. Now, Mick was never that much of a hard man, which is where I think they differ, because ultimately he's a Mitchell, so there's going to be a certain grittiness to him that someone else wouldn't have. But I got the feeling that there's actually kind of be quite a sweet bloke underneath it at the moment. I think that he seems all right at this moment. I think, you know, he could probably fly off the handle quite quickly. I get that impression. But at this stage, I'm sort of like, I think he's more on the good side rather than the bad side at this stage.
Have you ever watched This Is England?
Yes.
So you know how, like, mods used to get a bit of a bad rep, but obviously there are some nice guys in there. Like, arguably, a lot of the This Is England crew. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's kind of that vibe. So, yeah, they're a bit into this. Yeah, and then, but really, they're actually really nice people underneath. Because I know that, like, some of those people used to get, like, the National Front stigma attached to them when they're really not like that at all. So maybe that's his kind of vibe. Mm. But I don't dislike him, regardless of whether he's a good un or a bad un.
Yeah.
I'm definitely intrigued by him.
Yeah.
Then I see his relationship with Stevie, and I think you are a good un, because he's quite soft with his dad
as
well.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah, I mean, you kind of got the impression that he's almost a little bit sort of exasperated by Stevie's behaviour a lot of the time. So I think at this stage, I have to say, I think he's probably more of a good guy. I kind of like him. I think he's definitely got a sort. There will be times, I think, when we see him in probably more of an antagonistic role for that particular story.
I still
story.
Think he's got a gangster side, but because he said something to Phil, like, oh, maybe we'll work together or something.
Yeah,
like
he's.
That.
I don't think he's not like above the law at all or anything like that. I think he'll definitely be a bit of a dodgy character, but I think on the whole, I think he's going to be
a nice
sort of
guy.
I think you're going to have your typical EastEnders bloke who's a bit dodgy, but ultimately a good person. I think
so.
He
seems like the family man, the glue that holds the family together, and he sees Stevie's ways and goes, come on, Dad. You know, son. I mean, Dad. It's not going to end well telling these lies, is it? Anyway, do you agree? You just think he's like a Mick type of.
Yeah, at the minute, I'm getting Mick vibes off him, in all honesty. I think if Mick was to go a little bit more dodgy, I think that's what we'd get with Teddy.
Okay.
That's the vibe I'm getting at the moment. So, and I'm not sure about the jumper over his shoulder, but that's a different matter altogether.
That's the whole mod thing that he's got going on.
It's
like a, I'm a respectful person. It's not around my waist.
Yeah.
It's here. And it's that kind of, it's the, it's like the fashion from the time, I think. I could be totally wrong.
So that's Teddy.
Yes, that's Teddy.
What about Harry?
Typical ladies man. Typical, not got that many brain cells.
This is what I would say is what I'm more referring to when I talk about first episode syndrome.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah.
So, I mean, by the end of Thursday's episode / Friday's, I was all right with him. Like, I sort of got that he's...
Yeah.
I think I got the impression of him, like, okay, so maybe a little bit simple in some ways.
Yeah.
Kind of all right. I think he's going to be... I think what he will develop into is somebody akin to the likes of Fat Boy or something like that. I can imagine him being a bit of a comedy character at times whilst having sort of that ladies' man quality about him. So somebody that's fairly sort of... At this stage, I don't think we're going to discover any sort of dark secrets about him or anything like that. I think very much he's one of these people that what you see is what you get off him. I wasn't overly sort of enamoured with, you know, him sleeping with Penny in the first 5 minutes of meeting him. How many times have you seen that? Come on. Like, it's... That would get it. You're a ladies' man. You've got to sleep with the first woman that she comes.
Is that,
you come
do you know you like tell
seconds.
Me I'm naive and stuff? Do people just do that? They just meet
someone
and then sleep with them.
Well, I mean, you know,
while sober as well, they're even drunk.
Yeah, no, I mean, arguably, you know, I've probably done that on Grindr a few times, but ultimately.
Yeah, well, at least you've gone out.
Not the same thing.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. It just seemed a bit...
I know what you mean. No, I know totally what you mean. It feels a bit forced in that respect, doesn't it? Like, you sort
like,
of like...
The day after would have seemed a bit more believable.
A bit better, yeah.
You know what
Rather
I mean? But like...
In the first 5 minutes. Especially though Penny literally was like... They had two scenes together, effectively. The one scene in the street, and then the second scene of the Vic, which lasted about a minute and a half, which ended with
I don't even think
Penny
she let
saying,
him buy her a drink, did
no,
she?
No, which effectively finished with Penny saying, fancy a shag, and then they just went and had a shag,
and
you know,
just,
so we've seen that a million times before, so I was sort of like, come on, okay,
I
let's
don't
do,
think
let's
we
try
needed,
that a little bit. And the thing is, I don't even get
to happen.
The thing is, we've just seen it, we've not long seen it with Junior as well. Now, I know there's additional elements to the Junior side because he's married and everything, but that's effectively what we got with Junior as well.
Mm.
You know, sort of immediately slept with Bianca, and now he's slept with quite a lot of people in the small amount of time we've known him, in terms of, you know, if Chelsea had said yes, he'd have slept with her as well. You know, so we very quickly got that impression of the ladies' man. And I think with Harry, the thing is with Harry and Penny, I got the impression that Penny actually won't be a huge part of his story moving forwards. I can't imagine that we've just met these two and they're going to be the couple
new couple
of the,
on the square
no,
kind
at
of
all.
thing.
I think literally just a one-night stand.
Well, she didn't seem interested after, did
no.
she, in talking
so,
to him or anything?
Yeah. So I don't know. I say not bad, but I just thought it was just like, yeah, okay.
It felt forced. That bit in particular felt forced. Yeah. We could have had them flirting without them sleeping together, and that would have felt a bit more realistic, wouldn't it? But like, all right, we've got your number. You like your women, whatever.
But what I did like was his relationship with his brother. I think that's going to be interesting. So then we move on to Barney, who I actually was probably the one I'm most intrigued by out of the three of them. Said this before, the actor who plays him is autistic in real life. And I've very much got the impression that that's where the character is going to go as well, which would be the first regular adult character to have autism in EastEnders. I can't actually think of that many in other soaps off the top of my head either. So that's interesting. Something that that doesn't really get covered all that often in soaps for a regular grown-up character. Mm. So that would be nice to see. And it's not like, and he's got a bit of sort of oomph about him as well. He's sort of, I found him the most interesting. He's got a few more sort of additional layers to him, I thought. So I'm looking forward to seeing more from Barney.
Yeah, I thought the little bit that felt a bit like, all right, why is his brother only just asking about why does he carry a book around with him? I know it was like introducing new characters, but
I
How
agree.
Long have you been with him? And you know that he carries a book around. We can see he's carrying a book around.
We know,
he didn't really need to mention it.
Yeah, we got the impression pretty quickly about why he carries a book around with him all the time. And you've apparently lived with him your entire life. So if we've worked it out, you should know that by now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was more, again, the case maybe sort of falling into the fact that Harry's a little bit simple in the sense that it wasn't about questioning why does he carry a book, it's like, but sort of more, why does he have to in front of me?
True. You know, yeah. Oh, I didn't get that actually. Yeah, you're right. I thought he was just telling us as an audience that he carries a book, but actually, I think you might have a point.
I think it was a bit of both, wasn't it? It was on 90% of it was that, Ree. You're right on that respect. Yeah. But I think you could also read it in the terms of, if any of those characters were going to say it, I think it's like, it looks so uncool with me walking around with my brother who's got a book carrying around with him at all the time. How am I supposed to shag birds within the first 5 seconds of knowing them if he's carrying a book with him at all times, you know? Like, it's got that vibe to it.
Sorry, can we just mention the scene that he had with Avani that was so out of character for Avani?
Oh, I didn't think it was at all.
Oh, I thought this was clearly written for Amy or something, and she's like holding sick. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think that at all.
I thought Avani were being way too soft with him. She'd normally be like, yo, man, what are you doing reading a book? Yeah, it's Albert Square. What are you doing, man? And she was hello. Hi, I'm sweet Avani. Your shoes are very white.
I didn't get that at all. I kind of thought, you know what? I'll tell you what they're going for with that is the sort of, now those two will be a couple. Okay.
Yeah, I did think that after.
And what they're going for with that is a sort of Stacey and Bradley type approach with that. Is where they're heading with that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Now, hopefully that's not going to involve Barney sleeping. Hopefully that's not going to involve Barney sleeping with Teddy and then Barney falling off the roof of the Vic. Guessing it's not going in that direction, but that sort of vibe.
Well,
like,
you never know. It is Albert Square, right?
Well, exactly.
You never know.
But you know the vibe. Sort of like Stacey, this kind of hot, like, you know, sort of glamorous chick, and then Bradley, this sort of geeky Doctor Who fan, you know, so it's going to go in that sort of direction, I think, with those two. Like, Avani's a little bit more sort of streetwise than Barney is, so it's going to be that sort of opposites attract type story.
I don't feel like I've really seen that side to Avani, especially with young people.
But then look at how she is with Nugget. She's not sort of hard as nails with Nugget all that often. There is a softer side to Avani. She's got a gob on her.
I don't argue that there's a softer side. I was just very surprised to see it with him in that moment. She seemed too soft. Anyway, just an observation. It felt very out of character for me.
I didn't think so. Well, people
like
entitled
you.
To their opinions. No, it's just people have different
opinions. I know.
Don't attack me, Rio. Don't attack me. But I'm telling you now, Avani and Barney will be a couple in not long time. I think that's how
opposites attract
as well. Exactly. They've always got to do something like that. And it's kind of a very sort of simple storyline to go with a character like Barney. You know, if you weren't going to do it with someone like Reese, you'd do it with someone like Barney. You know, it's sort of true. It's about teaching the person on the opposite the way, like, this guy is actually kind of like a really sweet bloke. That's what we're ultimately going to get.
And he might help her with some schooling.
Exactly, which is not a story you'd get out of someone like Amy. I feel like Amy would have been instantly emphatic towards someone like Barney, whereas Avani is more curious, I think. I got the impression that she was looking at, she was watching him sort of like a wildlife documentary. It's like, why are you sat on that bench reading that book? And she wasn't taking the piss. She was just more genuinely sort of fascinated by it.
Why would you read a book?
Why would you do that?
I got that.
That's wild, isn't it? Yeah. Now that like it's abnormal to be reading
to read a book. We're old, really. That's why books won't exist in 20 years' time. Books won't exist in 50 years' time.
I can't even read on a Kindle. Me, I have to have the hard copy of a book in front of me. I'm with you, Barney.
And the harp playing in the background while someone feeds you grapes. So that's the boys. Like I say, the first episode syndrome, I think, really hit Harry particularly hard. But I kind of liked them by the end of the week. And all three of them, I can see slotting in quite easily. And I'm intrigued to sort of see where they go from here. So the storyline to bring them all in, now we've done that, was the whole Will and Stevie situation. Now, last week we saw that Stevie was being accused of stealing the money from Lola's fundraiser. You kind of thought, well, it's Stevie, isn't it? Didn't you? And were you surprised, but well, in fact, it turned out to be Will in the end?
No, not after you said it. Why didn't I realise that? Sus. It was the hat thing, and I thought, oh, it's a magic hat.
This is why you accuse me of having a smug face, you know. This is how that happens.
Yeah, you got it right. Well done.
Oh, what can I say? Detective Rob. But Stevie basically is spending the first half of the week trying to clear his name, because his name is Mud at the moment, because everybody thinks that he's stolen the money from Lola's fundraiser. And the only person really on his side is Mo, and then Will, who I think ultimately is feeling very, very guilty all of a sudden that Grandad Stevie is getting accused of my heinous crime. So it kind of falls that way. Phil is loving the opportunity to sort of drag Stevie through the mud even more.
There's something more to this Phil and Stevie.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%.
Stevie must have got some dirt on Phil, because he's almost too eager to get rid of him and pin stuff on him. There's something.
Yeah, because Phil has been accusing him of all sorts, saying that he's dangerous. Like, of all the things that Stevie is, I don't get where he's getting dangerous from. Like, and
there's
right from the first time, there is something right from the start where those two laid eyes on each other at Aunt Sal's funeral. Phil has wanted him way, way, way away. So why? Because ultimately he appears to be this kind of sweet, slightly dodgy older bloke. Now, we get kind of vibes by the end of, well, not vibes, we're told basically outright at the end of the week there's an additional secret to come. So yes. I wonder if it's that, what we're talking about here.
Phil's already known or something, or...
Or maybe Phil's heard stuff. I don't think Phil knows anything. I get the impression more that Phil is sort of doing this on a feeling that he's got that Stevie needs to be away, stuff that he's maybe heard about Stevie, stuff that maybe lies have been told about Stevie. I don't know.
And I think that it's that Stevie knows something about Phil.
Right, yeah, maybe.
I think there's something like that involved, because I thought it were very weird for Phil. He could have just said, obviously, what's happened is Will ends up accidentally really attacking Stevie. And then instead of Phil just saying like, oh, I found the money on Stevie, he then adds in, because he wanted to set up Will. Why did he say that? He could have just left it as, I found the money on him.
Yeah, and then look at the difference here between Ravi stepping up for Nugget and taking him to the gym and doing some one-on-one personal training to Phil stepping up for Will. Like, there's a slight difference in motivations, I'd argue, isn't there?
Definitely.
Well, don't get me wrong, I love Phil, but he's an arsehole. He really
I love Phil in that baseball bat.
Yeah. Oh, now see, we got the return of Phil's bat this week, which I'd argue Phil's bat should be its own character. I want a storyline. I want to know where it's been. You know, if that bat's been off for a while, I want to know why we didn't get told about its paternity leave storyline. You know, it's been a while since we've seen the bat. But it's now been, I'd argue Phil's bat has now been taken down to, I need to threaten kids with this, because I'm fairly sure that was the last time we saw Phil's bat as well.
Yeah,
so,
it was with Tommy, weren't it?
Yeah.
Tommy and Kerr,
so,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Or was it, oh, actually, no, I think the last time we saw Phil's bat was when Sam came back for a bit and they had to scare those kidnappers away or something like that.
Maybe that was,
I think, the last time we
possibly
saw Phil's bat.
Yeah.
Bat watch, I think we need to be doing now with Phil's bat.
Okay.
So yeah, that whole, I did quite like that scene though. What is this? This is an angry man with a bat.
Do you know what though?
Phil makes me laugh as a character.
He sorted
really
situation out,
he
I bet you, hadn't he?
Not correctly, but he dealt with it. And I bet that Carl will go nowhere near him ever again.
And do you know what made me laugh is I thought, why didn't Stevie or Will just think, why don't I just go to Phil and ask him to threaten him with a baseball bat?
Yeah.
That'd probably get
honestly,
me.
Honestly, if I lived in Albert Square, I'd be like, Phil, I need you.
Any
to
problem.
Mate.
Yeah.
I know. He's difficult to become mates with Phil. But I think what you'd have to do is basically just break the law once in Phil's favour. And then you've just got him there as a sort of backup option.
And he's got your
Phil,
back.
Because above anything, Phil has the honour of as an honourable side, whereas, oh, well, you've scratched my back, so yeah, I'll pay you back.
He's
at some
loyal.
point.
He's
Yeah, in
loyal,
that respect.
isn't he? Yeah.
Probably only do it once, but you'd have that card to play at any time you wanted. It's a useful thing to have. So, like we say, so Stevie, Phil's basically trying to set up Stevie for the whole thing. He plants this money on Will because Will gives him the money back. So he says, oh, I found this on Stevie. And Stevie then wakes up, and they and the whole family are sort of like, you're a thief. Billy's furious. Stevie basically then discharges himself out of hospital because, as we always say about Warford General, you go in there, you're probably going to be okay unless
you're
actually
cured
being
of any
killed off.
Ailment that you may
any
have had,
ailments. Yeah. I've been in a coma. Oh, no, come all right now. This is why Debbie's still unconscious. If she'd gone to Warford General,
she's not in Warford General,
no,
is she? Yeah,
if she
she's
was
in
in
a
Warford
care
General,
type of facility, yeah.
Reese could just ask her to have the money, but because she's not in Warford General, this is how he's had to go about it. You see, the magic of Warford General. It's like a Pokemon Center. You walk
why
in there.
Sonia told it. Well, we know why Sonia's not
Yeah,
told him. Actually, there you
exactly.
go.
Exactly. There you go. So yeah, this kind of goes on. Stevie releases from the hospital. This is how the new boys come in, and then there's all sorts of confusion about the whole thing. Will they end up arguing, and Will eventually confesses, and everything sort of seems to be okay, and they all sort of sharing a pizza. I think Phil is a little bit reluctant at first, but then I think
I
he
would
start I
with
got
pineapple on it.
oh yeah right wrong now we don't want to be controversial here. Me and Rhea are both massive anti-Hawaiian pizza people, all right? It's just wrong. If you're a Hawaiian pizza fan, let us know in the comment section, and I'm happy to fight you, okay? But it's, yeah, I think he's kind of reluctant, but I think then he thinks it warms the idea. Because actually, what we actually also get vibes of this week is that Phil's a bit lonely.
Yes, I've been saying this. I've said this a couple of times, actually, the
this is
lonely Phil
interesting.
Vibe.
Lonely
Because
Phil.
it makes sense, doesn't it? Ben's not there. He's got
The
no one
lonely...
really in the house. Well, he's got if he didn't have Raymond and Denise, he would literally be on his
Denise,
own.
who literally couldn't care whether Phil lives or dies.
Well, I'm wondering, are those two going to move back out, and then the new Mitchells are going to live with Phil, maybe?
Maybe. Or is this heading towards a bit of a lone Mitchell type storyline where Phil has to deal with loneliness for the first time in his life? He's done everything that Phil has ever done in his life. I wonder if this is hints or something, actually. All the things that Phil has ever done in his life is actually now finally coming back to bite him, where he's just got nobody around him because they don't want to be around him because he's Phil Mitchell.
Well, I'm wondering, is it going to be opposite then if it goes down that route and he's not going to warm to these guys and he's got, I don't want anything to do with Stevie's other family. So then Billy and co are all, they're all going to get on happy families.
Because maybe,
and so
is
be...
this why? And this is, maybe let's think about this then. Is this maybe why he's wanted to push Stevie away? Because Stevie comes back into Billy's life and he hasn't got Billy there in the as closely as he used to have him.
Like, possibly it's an element, but I think there's definitely something more going on.
He's lost Ben. He's lost
Kat.
Louise. You know, he's lost
Kat.
Kat.
He's just split with Kat.
Sharon is
Sharon
sort
and
of
Albie
there.
Are at arm's length.
Yeah. So he's having to work extra hard there. I wonder if this is where this is going, actually, you know, thinking about it. I wonder if we're heading into a bit of a loneliness storyline for Phil. And he's done so much trying to build this
I said
empire.
It last week, he's very lonely.
But I wonder now if this is where it's going, where you're sort of thinking about Phil, that he's done so much to build this empire that effectively is moving on without him.
Yeah. It'd be a good way to... It'd be like a good way to see how he is now that all his kids... Well, he's still got two on square, hasn't he? But his grown-up kids have,
yeah,
you know...
And it's been a long, long... Actually, it's been a very long time since Phil's had his own storyline to deal with. He's all very
Yeah,
often Phil is
so
a
he's
support.
part of others,
Very
yeah.
often Phil is just a part of a story, whether that being an antagonistic or a protagonistic role. He's very much sort of a support character in a lot of storylines. It's been a long, long time since we've had Phil have a story of a line of his own. So I'd welcome this, actually. This would be
But then why have they just got him involved in the six or the nine as they now are?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Why is
I don't
it
know.
just, and then we've not heard anything again after that?
I don't know. Watch this space, though, I think. I think these boys were... I'm beginning to wonder now if the reason that he didn't want Stevie around is because he was worried that Stevie would sort of muscle in on what he's got left. I
He's
do
always
wonder.
in the Vic with Billy and everyone, isn't he?
Yeah,
Like, that is
yeah,
his family
yeah.
at the minute.
Yeah,
I thought
interesting.
Jay and Callum were really harsh this week as well to him. Particularly Callum, actually.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the other thing. Like, this is effectively, and this isn't. Don't worry, Ballum fans. This isn't a jibe at Callum. But think, actually, there must be a side of Phil that thinks, how far have I fallen that I'm actually now desperate to spend time with my son's ex-husband, the copper?
It's not his ex-husband. They're still married. It's
still
son-in-law.
Yeah, but like, yeah, but I think like you know, it's, do you know what I mean though? Like, how is that? Is, like, imagine the Phil from 20 years ago being told that you're going to be desperate to spend time with that guy. He'd laugh in your face.
And I thought it were a nice. It showed a nice character change. Actually, I viewed it as a positive and like, look at Phil spending time with son-in-law. Isn't that nice? Who'd have thought
I do miss the Phil and Jay relationship, because that used to be so strong, the Phil and Jay. And they've not really done a lot of stuff with Phil and Jay recently. And now Ben's gone. I would really like to sort of see the Phil and Jay relationship sort of be explored again. Because they used to be... The Phil and Jay scenes used to be fascinating. Because Jay used to be sometimes one of the only people that could actually talk sense into Phil when he was raging at something. Like, Jay was normally the voice of reason outside of Sharon. It used to be like Sharon and Jay could normally team up and take Phil down to a slightly more sensible, reasonable level. So
was that scene meant to be, that's it, Jay and Callum are cutting Phil off just because some kid's dad come round and got angry?
Yeah,
and then
I don't know.
Got those two as an option anymore.
I'm convinced now. There's a lot more to this with Phil on his own as a character. I think this is definitely where it's going. Interesting. Really looking forward to seeing that, actually. Yeah, good stuff. The new boys are here. I'm excited to see
new
more of them.
A lot with Mitchells this week, isn't
there? A lot with the Mitchells, yes. Final question to you, Ree. I'm going to do the gold star first this week, because I normally always say it to you. I normally always give it to you first. And what I'm going to say is my gold star is going to Nugget this week. 100%. 100%. Happily.
Okay, interesting, because I'm actually thinking of giving it to Ravi for being a good dad.
There you go, then. So
that
Nugget
makes sense. There we go. Nugget and Ravi.
Nugget and Ravi for the gold stars this week. Now, it's been one of those weeks that, now I've sat and talked about it, I realise I really enjoyed this week. It was a strong week, and actually really setting up some interesting little tidbits for the future.
Well, sorry, we did not mention that Steve was married to Harry? Teddy's mum?
Well, I mean, let's just briefly talk about, because you saw that video they did about the Mitchell family tree.
Yeah, finally got it properly explained. So for ages, I'm like, were Eric and Stevie brothers or cousins? They were cousins, weren't they?
Their
dads were brothers.
Looking at that video, there's definitely room for...
which is on Instagram, if you'd like to look at the Mitchell family tree video.
Or
presented
on Facebook
by Emma
or
Barton.
YouTube.
Oh, is it on there as well?
I think so.
Plenty of options.
But plenty of options within that family tree for them to throw another secret in, I think, as well, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Something to do with Billy's mum.
Because why is he keeping it a secret who Teddy's mum is, and what? Do you think maybe we're a bigamist? Isn't there like a 20-year age gap, we've said, between Billy and Teddy?
Somewhere. Teddy's definitely a lot younger than Billy, 100%.
I'm sure I've read it's 20 years. So what's the mystery with his mum? Is she gonna come? Is she gonna
maybe? I don't know.
Is she passed? I feel like she's passed.
Yeah, I've got the feeling that she's passed as well, unless she hasn't. You know what I mean? Like, unless it's another sort of woman to turn up. I don't know. I bring it on though. I love Mitchell storylines. I love the constant evolving, the complex sort of. I mean, their family tree is basically like Spaghetti Junction.
And
so
where's Teddy's kid's mum at as well?
Yeah, yeah.
Or mums. Maybe they've got different mums.
Much more to come. Because I think actually when these three boys were announced, it was sort of like, oh, they're all men. This is where the women are. The women are coming, I think. Yeah. The women are sort of additional secrets to be pulled at.
Yeah.
And then they'll come in. I think we're going to get an older matriarch woman come in. And then some, I think.
Perfect.
Yeah, yes. Second Elaine. Ah, marvellous. Right. That's it for this week with storylines. Final part of the podcast, as usual, is comments from you guys.
So we've got a comment from our YouTube channel from last week from Gillyflower, who says, read the flashbacks for Pastor Clayton. In the US, we have a legal concept called the Molyneux exception, where prior uncharged bad acts are admissible to show a distinct pattern. It's called something else in the UK, but it also exists. Could be where this is going. Somebody else then commented saying, probably along the lines of a character statement, individual pieces of circumstantial evidence don't mean much, but grouped together show a distinct pattern of behaviour.
Mm. Yeah.
Fingers crossed that this is where it's going then.
It would be nice to sort of see an element of reporting it does help, even if it's en masse rather than singular. It would be nice to see that there is some use to that.
Merit.
But the vibes are, yeah, that's the But the vibes I'm sort of getting from the story is that it's more about how difficult it is to convict these things, and the fact that sexual assault can go for years unchallenged, unstoppable, this sort of evil dust cloud that kind of goes throughout the decades. So
And
it's
thank you for that
interesting.
fact, Gillyflower, because that's very
Yes, that's
interesting
very
to know.
good.
Because surely, if there's something like that
Or
in US law, there
Gillyflower.
must be Gillyflower. Sorry,
Gillyflower.
Gilly.
Gilly.
It was Glly, actually.
Potato,
So,
potato, tomato,
potato,
tomato. Let's
potato.
call the whole thing off. Right. About the Mitchell Boys, Charlie Edge has said, "I loved it. I'm really excited for these new lads. I thought it was a great intro to all of them, and it felt like a play tonight." Presuming this is about Wednesday's episode, their first episode, which are always my favourite type of episodes. I get what you mean by that. I actually thought it was very risky of them to do Wednesday's episode the way they did, because actually it was so heavily about the boys, wasn't it? About the new characters. Like, for about 20 minutes or so of the episode, you were literally going from one of them to the next one to the next one, with just the cast that we know sort of being used as very much supporting characters throughout the whole thing. And I wasn't sure if it worked actually, because I was sort of like, I don't, because of that first episode syndrome. You get this is the first episode syndrome, in case you're unclear about what I'm talking about, is when I is a phrase I use occasionally. It's not an official term or anything, but it's basically when a new character or a returning character comes in. Alfie had this really badly when he first came back, I think, as well. We basically get the most extreme versions of themselves. I compare it to, if you've ever seen I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, you know when they add cockroaches to a chamber that the celebrity is lying in, and when you first throw the cockroaches in, they go crazy, they're running around and like doing all sorts, but then after a while they start to settle down and they're
What a
sort of sat
strange
there.
analogy, Rob. But
The
yeah,
way,
I
I don't
get
know
what you're
why,
saying.
it's the thing. So the first episode syndrome, you've just been thrown in the box and you're running around like crazy. But then after a few episodes, you sort of start to just settle down and sort of get used to your new environment. That's how I always go about it.
I think what was different with so the first episode, it was like, we're showing you the audience what these characters are like. So we've got to throw these lines in, like Barney telling Harry about his past behavior that they probably wouldn't really discuss in that nature.
Penny and
Compare it
Harry sleeping
to
together.
Friday's episode, because they were all aired on at different times on TV,
It
by the
was
way. Compare it to Friday's episode, the last episode of the week, and then Harry's talking to Honey about his
yeah
previous
again
work and
yeah
things,
that
and
was
it felt
great.
a lot more natural because the character is introducing himself
Exactly.
to somebody
rather
on the
than
square rather than to the audience.
yes
So I
yes
think that was the
exactly
difference between the two. But
Notice
I
as well,
didn't hate it.
he's a mechanic as well. We notice
Perfect.
that's
Of course he
convenient, isn't
is.
it? Yeah,
Of
there you
course he
go.
is.
He's another
But
mechanic.
I actually didn't mind that first episode syndrome as much as I have done with
Other
previous
times it's
characters that are
happened.
introduced. It's strange that we both had a different opinion on that, actually, but there
It
you go.
always happens, especially with
It
returning
does. It
characters as
does.
well. Returning characters get it all the time. Like Janine had it really badly when she first came back. Bianca, Alfie, they all, Kat, when she first came back, I remember Kat having it really badly. It just happens every time, because you're almost reminding, you kind of give the audience a bit of a blast of their best bits all in one. And with a new character, you're like, this is what you're going to get. Rawr! And then it sort of calms down a little bit after that. So you kind of just got to, at some points, sort of take that first episode almost at face value, be like, okay,
Yeah,
lovely. And now, next
definitely.
episode, I feel like I'll actually get to know these people a little bit more,
Got a comment from our Instagram from Emma Selby, who says, really enjoying the new Mitchells. Love their banter and squabbling with each other, and they bring some humour to the family. Highlight of the week, though, was Denise's summary of Phil. If he gets lonely, he may do a heist or knock up another woman on the square. I
Oh,
mean,
sorry, Phil and the word lonely being thrown in together. I think this
well,
might
there
be
is
where it's go
that.
I think this is where it's going. I'm convinced this is where it's
Rob, I'm
going
not
now.
being funny, but I said that last week.
Well, good
I
for you.
can't just take all credit for
I
it when I said
can,
it
I
last
can.
week. All right.
I'll go back to last week's episode and edit you saying that out. That's not a
All
problem.
right,
I can do
I won't
that.
put it past it. I'm
I
joking.
genuinely don't remember you saying that at all. Did you say that?
Yeah, I literally
Wow.
said it.
Wow.
Back me up if you want to
Yeah,
comment
I'm
on our
sure.
YouTube page that I said it last week. Oh, now I'm going to be like, did I say it in a conversation that we had and it weren't recorded?
Did we
That'd
say this
be
off
just
camera? Is
my
that
luck.
might it be? Yeah, I only pay attention to you when we're actually recording, really.
When
That's
we
the thing.
recorded.
That's the only thing that matters in our friendship these days, I'm afraid. When the little recording
Yeah,
button's at
when
the
it's
top,
the record
that's
button's on.
vital.
But no, I did find that line very funny that Denise said, and I did think, Well, maybe that is the next step then. He's going to he's going to organise a heist or knock up another woman on the square.
One of the two. One of the two. Finally, Simon Paris has said, love the new Mitchells, but given the way that they were presented as a bit of a mystery slash surprise, it is a shame we all knew who they were from the BBC publicity. I would
that
say...
That is true.
It is true, but I thought it was surprising, because actually I thought that we've had quite a lot of trailers in this era. And I'm surprised we didn't get one for these new boys. We got the publicity photo and sort of like the official announcements about them, but we didn't get a trailer about them, which seemed surprising considering that they are clearly quite important new characters.
Yeah, to be fair though, I agree with what he's saying, because we spent the entire Thursday's episode following them around like we did in the way that we did, without any of them mentioning how they knew Stevie.
Yeah.
So why keep it a mystery when you've already told us
that
all?
All
you
the
might
way
as well
through.
Have just told us. Yeah, you might as well have just told us from the start of that episode.
And I'd argue it wasn't
than
even
the
that.
Duff Duff and going, yeah. Your brothers. Oh yeah, we've not figured that one out.
And
When
actually,
you told us a few weeks ago,
I'd argue that it wasn't even that much of a mystery, because the way we got introduced to them was the nurse ringing them up as Stevie's next of kin. So it wasn't
so
that surprising.
It's obviously family.
Yeah.
Well, actually, next of kin doesn't have to be a family member.
That's
To
true.
Be fair, but
that's very true.
Yeah, still, it's implied, isn't it?
Did you notice that Stevie's first scene was very, very reminiscent of Phil's first scene? I don't know if this was deliberate or not.
A lot of people
have noticed this. Phil's first ever scene is him arriving on the square, like on the phone to somebody. How he managed this in 1991, I'm not quite sure, because I don't think mobile phones were a thing. Car phone, I think it would have been then, wouldn't it? But in a very sort of similar sort of vibe. I don't know if it was deliberate. They're very similar. So maybe it was deliberate, but... just it was there was a parallel there. I think that some people noticed.
They like the
all
parallels
over
at minute,
love a
don't
parallel.
they?
We love a parallel. Right, that's it for this week, ladies and gents. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for listening. If you would like to send us your comments, questions, or feedback, you can do the following.
You can find us on Facebook at Albert Square After Dark, on Twitter and Instagram at E20 After Dark. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to like and subscribe. You can listen to us on Apple and all your favourite podcast sites. Drop us an email at e20afterdarkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to buy us a coffee, you can do so by going on buymeacoffee.com/E20After Dark.
Yes, you can indeed. Thank you very much for watching and listening, everybody. We will be back same time next week. Until then, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Goodbye. See you later.
Bye.